Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday. You know what that means. It's time for the Wrestling Inc. after AEW Dynamite after show. And have we got a show for you. We got Danny Garcia trying to win the International Championship. We've got the return of Adam Page and Britt Baker and Mercedes Moné. Drew a line in the sand. I don't know who to introduce first. I'm Jack Farber, being joined by the only person on the panel wearing an America shirt the day before 4th of July, the Canadian Jimmy Corderas, yes! And King of the Cookout, Flo Bo Boyce.
Hey.
Fellas, I guess I'll go to Flo Bo first. Flo Bo, you having a cookout? Who's invited?
Just me and me alone. I left the open for July. You can't come.
I heard Cody Rhodes is going to be there.
He goes. Come by.
Jimmy Corderas, famously Canadian, rocking the America shirt the day before 4th of July. Flo Bo Boyce and I are going to have our citizenship revoked because we're in black.
That's okay. You know what? I'll cover for everybody. We're all American boys. All American boys.
Oh, that was a banger.
That was a good one. Man, we're in for a good time tonight. Good spirits here today as we got a great chat already filling in. Brianne saying good evening. Joe C with the lurking time. And, of course, all the good evenings from Stephen Camp and yes, from Tommy. Oh, good to see y'all. Dylan Matthews, Chef Boyce. I'm thinking Chef Boyce RD.
Boyce RD. I was thinking,
I like that.
My mind.
Not sure anyone to buy those cans of ravioli, but definitely the case.
For some reason, Joey Image says, "Let's go, Mets." I don't know why.
We did lose today. So that's fair.
That's my boy Joey, but you got no Mets. No.
Hey.
So before we get into the show, I do want to talk a little bit about, of course, this was the Fallout show from Forbidden Door. And if you wanted what truly is, I think, the biggest way to feel the fallout of Forbidden Door, you can still go check out Flo Bo and I's review of Forbidden Door up on YouTube now at Wrestling Inc. But these after shows we're doing after the big shows of the pay-per-views, the PLEs, they continue to roll. This weekend, we got a doubleheader. George Hermosa and John Jordan are going to be doing one for Money in the Bank and Heat Wave. So if you're not full after your barbecues on the 4th of July, fill up on some good Wrestling Inc. eating. Let's talk about some news while we're here. By the way, EJ the Collector running through. Tuning in. Happy 4th, Jets. EJ, always good to see you, EJ. Let's talk some news. Do you guys in the chat want to talk some news? Well, we're going to talk some news. I hope you all say yes. I'm moving forward here.
Well, actually, y'all.
Yeah, if they said no, I don't know what I would do because the bosses say we're talking news.
Hey, why are you asking if you're just going to go to it?
It's the illusion. You want to go to the news?
We're going to it anyways. Tough.
You know how it is. It's kind of like in the old, you know, when the boss is like, "Hey, here's my suggestion. Do you think we should do it?" You always say, "Yes." I think that sounds like a correct.
Sign my checks, man. Yeah.
Once the door closes, you can make your comments there quietly.
We got AEW, New Japan Pro Wrestling, Ring of Honor, CMLL, and Stardom. They're coming together for a giant crossover show in the Tokyo Dome, Wrestle Dynasty, happening January 5th, 2025. Flobo, we just covered Forbidden Door, a crossover show here in the States. Are you excited about the idea of all these companies coming together for a show in Japan? And what would you like to see to make sure this is a successful event?
Yeah,
for you, in your mind, not like sales, but like for Flobo Boys to say this is a good show.
Yeah, I think the very nature of it having what would have been the second day slot for Wrestle Kingdom. We know it was a one-day event that became a two-day event that went back to being a one-day event, and between that and New Year's Dash. So for me, as somebody who was lucky enough to go to Japan once in my life, you're telling me I can get three straight days of wrestling, but also featuring wrestling I watch regularly every Wednesday on Dynamite. I think that alone is enough to immediately see what the card's going to be and check out flights for that time of year.
Yeah, earlier today on Draped in Gold, Flobo Boyce actually asked me, Jimmy, about two-night SummerSlam coming up. And should NXT, if I was the one making the decisions, would I like to see Heatwave as part of the SummerSlam weekend, similar to Stand and Deliver, a part of WrestleMania? And I bring all this up because, like Flobo mentioned, this is becoming a three-day event, other companies coming in. I could see this becoming for New Japan Pro Wrestling kind of like a WrestleMania weekend where you have your big show, but then all these other peripheral shows come around it, and it sort of becomes a landing page for a lot of pro wrestling. I think this could be very healthy for the wrestling scene there in Japan.
Absolutely, it can, because all these events that are taking place here in the United States, you know, the Forbidden Door that you guys covered, is it losing some of its cachet? Maybe over here it is, but I think over in Japan, it's going to be a little bit different. They absorb this a little bit more. They're familiar with a lot of the AEW talent and a lot of the CMML and those going over. I think making it a three-day event will make it a destination for a lot of diehard wrestling fans to maybe even say, you know what? I would love to take a trip to Japan, because anybody who hasn't been to Japan to witness pro wrestling, it is a sight to behold. So if you're a real diehard wrestling fan and you can muster up some of the cash flow, it's worth a trip one time. And you got to hit Ribera's. Don't forget to hit Ribera's.
Get one of those jackets.
And yeah, get one for me. I lost mine.
I just say, Jimmy, if I got one, I would never lose it. I would keep it tight.
What a jerk. Yeah. You know, super kick. Whack.
Yeah, I think I'm banned from Japan. If I try to cross customs there, it said, where's your Ribera jacket?
I imagine you getting off the plane, and it's like one of those planes where the stairs go right down to the tarmac, but there's like a bunch of guys in suits waiting for you. Like, turn around. You can't come here, Jimmy. Until you find that Ribera jacket, you're not allowed back in these borders.
No, I can't, sweetheart. No.
No, Jack Reacher's waiting for me.
So everyone in the chat, let me know what you would like to see from Wrestle Dynasty. What would make it something that would make you want to watch it? I don't want to worry about what you think is going to get buy rates and stuff like that. I think that's the coward's way out to answer. I want to know what you want to see. I want to you put your heart on your sleeve and tell me what you like to see. Sometimes I feel like people, instead of just living by what they like to fall back on, but what are the ratings going to be? I don't care.
Oh, yeah. Target demographics, baby.
Like, yeah. You know, wear your heart on your sleeve. People who wore their heart on their sleeves, by the way, were Swerve Strickland and Will Ospreay. After the match, they shared some words, and Swerve came out and said that speaking to Will Ospreay, I told him I love him. He's the best he's the best in the world. He's one of the best talents I've ever seen. And it's going to be a long time until you find someone as special as him and how he does it. And I can't wait to do it with him again someday. Later, it was revealed, or reported, I should say, by Fightful, that it was Ospreay who reached out to the higher-ups in AEW, noting his desire to put Strickland over. He's a longtime friend of Strickland's. Ospreay wanted to rid the belief that Swerve's title reign was merely a placeholder until Ospreay won the belt at All In. Additionally, Ospreay wanted to set an example and be a team player, showing that nobody should feel they are above losing to the world champion. One individual within AEW noted that a point was being proven as a result. The report also notes that Ospreay versus Strickland at All In was never the plan, with Ospreay having big creative plans lined up through the rest of 2024. And I think we saw a little bit of that tonight. Jimmy, I want your thoughts on this. Obviously, locker room chemistry seems to be good, at least between Swerve and Ospreay. But the idea of Ospreay saying, I want to show that we got to make this champion great as a team here. Maybe that's not the right phrasing, but you get what I mean.
No, I understand exactly what you mean, and I understand where he's coming from. And if this is the case, then hats off to Will Ospreay for doing it, because, you know, we've been critical on here, at least I have been, about how Swerve has been presented as world champion. I think they have really done him a disservice, because Swerve has got all the goods. Swerve is the guy that should be carrying this company on his back right now. Yes, Will Ospreay is the future of this company, but right now, present today, Swerve is the guy, and that's the guy you got to strap the rocket to. And Will knows this, and he sees this, and hats off to him as well for recognizing this. The little interaction they had in the ring was a nice little interaction back in the day. That happened back in the dressing room. That's where you gave the guy their flowers when you got back there. That's when it was all hugs and kisses. Well, listen, maybe not that far, but you know what I mean? You give the guy his flowers back there, and there was a mutual respect. Now we're seeing it more in the ring. We're getting the fans to get to see it. And especially in this situation where you have two baby faces, where the fans love both. Mm-hmm. So in this case, I didn't mind seeing that. And if, like I said, hats off to Will for being man enough to understand that it's a business and you got to do the right thing. And I'll get to more of that later when we talk about the show.
Flobo, as far as this goes, it felt like, I feel like we haven't heard a lot of these rumors lately, but for a while there, it felt like there was a lot of disturbances within the AEW locker room. It felt like there were issues. It felt like it wasn't the greatest place to be. And to me, I don't know if this was intentional because of that. I don't know if this was just Will Ospreay being Will Ospreay, but to me, as an outsider looking in, this says to me that there's at least a concerted effort to try to make the AEW locker room a unit and a team, one that works together. And I think that this is a great move and a big gesture by someone like Will Ospreay, who probably could have thrown his weight around a little bit, probably could have gotten a little bit more of what he wanted. And so to say, yes, I want to help make Swerve great because he's our champion, I think says a lot about the current state of the AEW locker room.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, when I first read these articles, I was kind of like, oh man, don't tell me everything how the sausage is made. I mean, I know they had the moment in the ring on Sunday, but like, just go off and just talk about yourself as a character. This, I felt, was kind of early to say or make that publicly known how you felt about putting Swerve over. However, because AEW's had those rumors about like the chemistry and the morale, it is a cool gesture to say, hey, look, we know it's a quote unquote down period, because really wrestling is like hot as it's ever been. But it's down to the period AEW has created a brand, but we do have some faith behind our champion. It's been rough because Swerve's title reign is so different than what the formula is at AEW, but we're willing to invest in it. So overall, I think it made sense. But my first knee-jerk reaction was like, don't tell me that stuff, bro.
It is funny, and this isn't a whataboutism or whatever, but it is funny because my first thought was, yeah, I don't want to know what's going on with that kind of stuff either. As I'm also going, when is that WrestleMania documentary coming out?
Today, finally.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm saying, I get what you're saying, but it is funny how sometimes his fans were a little thick, like, yeah, I don't want to know how the sausage is made. How's the sausage made?
Right. Let me know.
Yeah. Can you tell me?
I don't know if it's so much like that, or is, I don't know, want to know how the sausage is made. And say, okay, Google, how is the sausage made? Everybody's online.
Right.
Got one of these.
Yeah. 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 I don't want to know how it's all done. Spoiler. Dave Meltzer. We talk about stars, and it's interesting because we have in the chat here, I just highlighted it and now I lost it. Fernando says the AEW roster has never been this stacked with talent like it is right now. And I mentioned this from Fernando because Dave Meltzer watched Forbidden Door like a lot of us did. And he said Stephanie Vacker is getting all sorts of praise for her Forbidden Door performance, and everyone is talking about what's next for her. That was not a quote from him, but that's basically what he's saying. A quote from him was, whether it's AEW or WWE, I think that it that that's happening, meaning she's going to sign somewhere. Flobo, you and I gushed over her on the Forbidden Door after show. I thought she, it was my first time ever seeing her, blew me out of the water. I was like, she's done. I sign off on her. Someone needs to sign her. Meltzer's a news breaker, but is this also kind of like, yeah, come on. She's great. Of course. Yeah, sign her.
For all the stuff about the women's division AEW, and we'll get to that later today, that was a bright spot for a lot of reasons. People didn't really weren't on the Mercedes Moné train. We're starting to see that pay off. And back here, for a lot of people who are, and myself included, I'm not trying to be smart. I've seen one match before this. So this is my second time seeing Stephanie. It was enough to have everyone talk about it in the middle of the show. So Dave Meltzer doing that, is this him, like, you know, just showing up at the Walmart and being like, I can magically open the door? But hey, you know what? If he's not wrong, he's not wrong, right?
I have a few of the bad jokes I do every time I get the opportunity. And one of them is when I get to the supermarket, I do the, let me get the door for you.
Oh, dad joke farmer.
The other one is, if you ever ask me, Jack, did you get a haircut? I will always say I got them all cut.
He does do that. I've known you for what, 6 years now? 7 years?
I can't help it. It happens. It just comes out of me.
I don't know. I will.
I
don't know if I could say this because of our language parameters, but my favorite line when I go to the supermarket is price check on a jackass.
And now we're demonetized. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, quick story. You know who came up with that line?
That was you.
Oh, yep. Whoa.
Yeah, that was VO'd in later by mistake because it wasn't in the original shot when they did it.
See, this is why you're a legend, man.
No, it's, I see, real quick, I was standing beside Paul Heyman. We were watching it because they filmed it earlier in the day at the supermarket. And it was all, we were laughing our butts off, you know, because all the flour all over Booker and, you know, all just trashing this place. And then he puts him on the conveyor belt, you know, at the checkouts there. And Steve, you know, does his finishing touches and he's walking out. And I'm standing beside Paul and I go, price check on a jackass in my best and worst Steve Austin voice. And he said, look at me, said, what'd you say? And I thought he got hot. I thought he was hot. Like, I just said, price check on a jackass. You know, and he goes, why weren't you in the meeting? And then I'm watching it back because that was when SmackDown was taped and they vetoed it in. And I was like, oh, cool.
Wow. Yeah. Get the best Hall of Fame ring already.
We got a lot of fun stuff to chat about today. I'm excited. This was a big episode for Dynamite, I think. And we got a lot of folks here. I want to give a shout out, as always, to everyone who's joined us. But I got a special shout out. Shout out to I Am Error, who, by the way, I Am Error, always holding down the chat during the show and watches it live and is there chatting, but is never able to make it live to be a part of the show itself, because obviously the link is made while the show's on. So I Am Error, right. So glad you're able to make it here with us this time around. Appreciate you coming through.
Can I say I Am Error is one of the best video game references. Besides A Winner Is You, I Am Error is like top tier. So thank you for coming on tonight.
We also got Dorian Jones and Joey Image, as mentioned, Dylan Matthews and Brianne and Corey and Danny and Scotty Karma. I haven't seen you before. Let's go, Scotty Karma. Glad to see you. And then also Dylan Matthews, high praise. Best ending since the attempted murder of Tony Khan. The rest of there's lots of murders happening in pro wrestling. No. Not a safe time to be a pro wrestler.
Yeah, what's
by
his
the
ranking
way.
If attempted murder is number one?
We got Ricky, of course, though, and stalking you with the dog emoji and Adonde and Killer of Demons. Everyone coming through, having a good time. Appreciate y'all being here. I did think this was a great show. I thought this was a pivotal show. I thought this was a really fun. I'm excited to argue with you guys about it. We start the show with a little promo package, but we'll talk about that at the end. For now, we're going to talk about Bryan Danielson versus Pac in the semifinals of the Owen Hart tournament. And it's just a battle between two greats. Danielson gets the crucifix to reverse the brutalizer and get the win to make his move to the finals. Jimmy, Bryan Danielson is banged up, but he moves through in what I thought was a good one. What was your thoughts on this one?
I love the match. I thought it was great. You know, Bryan Danielson is just an absolute pro, and he knows what he's He can tell stories just standing there in the corner. That's mm-hmm. how good he is. And to have someone like Pac against him, these guys have met before. I think the last time was, they said, many, many moons ago. But still, these two put on a real snug fest. Let's put it that way. These guys laid it in, and they told great story. That was pro wrestling, the kind of pro wrestling I enjoy most. When you got two guys like that can tell stories, emote with their face, get the crowd invested, regardless of the fact that the crowd loved both guys. You know, you normally want the protagonist and the antagonist. In this situation, it worked brilliantly. And because of the story behind it, it's the tournament match, the Owen Hart tournament match. What more can I say? Love the match. It was great.
Flobo, you know, this one was these are just two of the technical greats in the ring and two guys who are incredible. I thought, to Jimmy's point, Bryan Danielson, when we talk about great wrestlers, I think so often people think about cardio, people think about the moves they do or basic selling. But I was like, Bryan Danielson, the in-between stuff, like just very little things like Pac's in the corner. He turns to go run to the other corner so he can do his moves, but he does like just a little shimmy with his shoulder because his shoulder's hurting him, you know, or he'll just make these little things, just these very little micro things throughout the entire match. There's never a moment where he's in, you know, a rest. He's always presenting something and it's not over the top. It feels believable. Bryan Danielson, for as good as all the stuff he does, it's those little in between times I think make Bryan Danielson one of the all time best.
I think that was very apparent tonight. My match of the night was the first one of the evening, and not take any away from back besides the fact he's a bastard. But you think about what Bryan Danielson or Daniel Bryan said. I know, right? Maybe he just like ticked off one guy one time, you know, like cut him off in traffic once, and he's like, "Hey, you bastard!" No, but what I like about Bryan Danielson is that no matter who he in the ring against, everything compounds. And so if you're a psychology guy, you're going to love it. If you're a moves guy, you're going to like it. If you're a character guy, because he's so physically small in most of his opponents, you like it. There is almost something for everyone in one dude. And this is why Bryan Danielson, even though I wasn't the biggest fan at first, and I've been told, I've seen the light of how he could be one of the better ones of our generation.
Jimmy, we talk about not being the biggest guy in the room. Someone who may have been the biggest guy in the room was in the front row. And I don't know if you noticed this guy. I don't know if anyone watching the show right now watched this guy. Did you see him in the big shirt? He was in the front row. I couldn't take my eyes off this dude.
I tried to ignore him as best I can, but he was right there across from hard camera. How can you miss this guy?
What's wrong with the dude?
He was standing the whole match.
Oh, yes, he wouldn't. Okay, but it's one thing if you're standing the entire match, but when you're blocking the view of six people, one guy, you know, then it's an issue.
Like I told Jack in the chat, if you buy a floor ticket to a wrestling show, it is at your own risk for a reason. You gotta go in the upper bowl, man.
It absolutely is. Jimmy, because you've worked in the industry, is there a what's the word I'm looking for? Where like there's just a certain like protocol for like
protocol maybe?
As far as standing or like if you're a fan, is there? Because I felt bad, like it was clear everyone else in the arena was sitting, and he's the only person standing up, and I'm sure he's excited to be there. I don't mean to make fun of the guy, but like, how do you not know? Like, I gotta sit down. I'm blocking everyone's view.
Usually it comes down to the fact that if people are complaining to somebody, to security, whoever the case may be, then the person is told to sit down. If nobody was complaining about this guy, I don't see how they weren't, but maybe that was the reason why nobody told him, "Hey, Lute, I get it. You're excited. You're happy. You want to be here. You're showing off your t-shirt. Just sit down sometimes so people can see."
On social media, I mentioned this, and at Thumbs Up Canada said, "Pay for the whole seat, but only use the edge." that popped me. I enjoyed that. But yeah, this was a good one. Bryan Danielson going to the finals of the Owen Hart tournament. We'll find out a little bit more about that story in just a little bit. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name's Jack Farmer with Wrestling Inc., and you know, plenty of pro wrestlers made their names at the Olympic Games. Kurt Angle, Mark Henry, even Ronda Rousey. I'll be watching this year's Olympics to see the pro wrestlers of tomorrow. And staying hydrated isn't just for the athletes, it's for those of us watching at home, too. That's why I pour Liquid IV into a glass of water for physical endurance, mental clarity, and overall well-being. One stick of Liquid IV has 3 times the electrolytes of sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients. It's easy to mix, and I love that it doesn't taste fake. Plus, 4 of the flavors are sugar-free. It's also great when I travel to a live event. A few sticks of Liquid IV in my bag guarantees I'll be at my best and that my head isn't pounding as the pyro goes off. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We move on to a segment that, for a show that I thought was really just about perfect, in my opinion, this next part got a little messy for me. Mark Briscoe comes out, says Jack Perry got lucky, but that was last week. Tonight, he's declaring as the first member of Team AEW for Blood and Guts. Jack Perry attacks Briscoe. Then O'Reilly comes out to make the save. Then Okada and the Bucks come out. Then they're all chased off by the Acclaimed. Jimmy, I feel like I know who the teams are now for Blood and Guts. I feel like they could have gotten more out of this. I feel like they kind of shot their load a little. Are we allowed to say that phrase?
Not anymore. It's weird when Jack says that kind of stuff.
I feel like they just kind of threw it out there in something that really could have been a story. And I think of the NWO going up against WCW the first time. It was like, who's on team WCW? Can we trust this person? Well, yeah. And there was this huge story to it. It made it interesting where this was just kind of like, I guess I'm on this team.
That's one of the issues I find sometimes with AEW is they try to rush through it, especially a lot of the stuff with the Young Bucks, the EVPs. Their stories seem to be rush. You know, the one that they had not too long ago, Anarchy in the Arena match, was that the one? Mm-hmm. I forget all these different names that they put it. But that happened out of the blue. It was just like, okay, next match is going to be an Anarchy at the Arena match. But why? Let's build to it. Why don't we tell a story that gets people invested instead of having, okay, here we go, Wrestling 101. Somebody makes a save. Someone else takes him out. Someone else makes a save. Someone takes him out. It just felt too ordinary. For lack of better, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's true. And the makeup of the teams is fine, but Flobo, it's very, I guess we go back to what is Team AEW really fighting for? What is Team Elite actually fighting for? Because they kind of already have everything. Right. And there's not really any stakes for them to win or lose in this situation. But I also feel like they really could have done the, like, who's going to step up, and maybe even the Bucks, like, bribing people not to join Team AEW or intimidating people not to join Team AEW, and really kind of drawn this out and made it a surprise, as opposed to just one guy saying, I want to represent Team AEW, and everyone going, okay, I guess I will too. Like, you know?
Yeah, the core problem is that we don't – the EVPs, they're heels and do annoying things, but they're not really evil. They're just kind of like, hey, guys, we're the bosses. You hate that, right? And we go, well, I guess, but MJF is also a bad guy. You know what I mean? So we have these matches and we have these things. They're going to be great. They're going to be bangers because Blood and Guts is never under-delivered, underperformed. But it's kind of like, if I beat the EVPs, what do I get? If they win, what do they get? And so forget the stakes for them. I'm just mean as a fan, like, what's going to shift if you're going to have this giant blow off match? It's not even a blow off because we don't really know what half the opponents are. So I do think there's a way to fix it. If everyone who joins in has a reason, like if they do a flashback or something where it's like, hey, you guys screwed me over 2 years ago. It's now my time to get my comeuppance. But other than that, I don't think I'm invested.
Yeah, and like you said, it'll be great. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure we'll watch it. I'm sure I'll be covering it on this show and being like, hey, Blood and Guts was awesome. I got blood. I got guts. I'm happy. Loads. But I just – I do feel – I lot loads pre- and post-blown.
Spicy.
But but yeah, I feel like they could have gotten a little bit more out of this. I feel like
– reasons. That's the thing. Reasons. We need reasons as opposed to, oh, it'll be cool. Let's throw these guys in the match.
And I think this is where someone like Christopher Daniels, who is still, you know, new to the quote unquote, new to the managerial situation, new to the GM position, and maybe him being like, hey, can you help me out? And then be like, look, man, you're new to this. I don't trust you. Or maybe like play into that. Like, I remember you when you were a wrestler. You were horrible. I don't want to work with you. You're no better than they are. Or they could have built a lot of story in there and a lot of reasoning for things happening instead of just sort of, well, this guy's probably going to go for that title. This guy's probably going to go for that title. Let's put them into a group match.
Right.
In any case, we move on to Mariah May. She gets a promo, or really Toni Storm got the promo here. Jimmy, Toni Storm has been an absolute treasure on AEW. She has been a spotlight in AEW. We've sung her praises a lot. She was fantastic at Forbidden Door. I think one of the best parts of the show, and that's saying something. I like this. I like where they're going. I like the idea of Mariah May potentially challenging Toni Storm down the road and what that's going to do to this whole thing. Did feel a little bit like this was a Toni Storm promo and not a Mariah May promo, though.
But that's because Toni Storm is so commanding. Every time she's on the screen, she commands your attention. So she draws that away. And just regardless of who's speaking, even when someone else is cutting a promo, your eyes are almost diverted over to Toni Storm because you watch her face, her facial expressions, and that sort of thing. The only thing I didn't like about this, I wish they would have fixed that audio issue. That I don't know if it was an issue because we were hearing that echo coming from the arena. So I wasn't hearing Toni Storm the way I would have liked to. It wasn't clear for me. I don't know if it was something here in Canada, maybe crossing the border, we had an issue with the audio. But did you guys hear it down there? Was it, you know, was it?
I watched the show with cans on just to make sure I hear everything, so it wasn't that bad to me. But maybe if I was watching on TV, I might be losing something.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't notice it as much on my end. So maybe it was. Maybe it didn't have sound. Didn't have its passport. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey. Oh, yeah. Oh boy. I'm not getting into border stories, never mind.
But Flobo, I guess your takeaway on this. Now, I can imagine a world where Mariah May wins the tournament and then has to challenge Toni Storm. And the story is, how does she step out of Toni Storm's shadow? In which case, Toni Storm doing all the talking makes a whole lot of sense right now.
Sure.
Is that where we're at, or do you think Mariah May needs to be building up before we get to this point?
I think because of last week, this time, the side story, the C plot was what Mariah May was going to do with that women's match at Forbidden Door. So having Toni Storm dominate that was kind of like, no, we're cool, we're friends, I believe in you. It was more like her laying it on thick for the eventual divorce later on.
So I'm looking forward to it either way. I think that was a great, I love the story that's happening there. Another story that I have been really enjoying here is our next Owen Hart tournament matchup, and that was Willow versus Statlander, Willow Nightingale versus Chris Statlander, in case you're confused over which Willow and Statlander I'm referring to. We get a really, really good, we get a promo from Willow. Then these two have a fight, and it starts right on the ramp. They really do a good job. Statlander tries to use a chain. Willow turns it around, rolls up Statlander, sending Willow to the finals of the tournament. Flobo, this is another rivalry I'm loving. And that Willow promo, to me, just hit every single note. Willow, build the division around her. She's got my full sign-off. She's got my full support. Give her creative control, whatever she wants. That was wonderful, I thought.
Yeah, leave it to Jack Farmer to paraphrase the Jack Farmer tweet. But I actually agree. Willow Nightingale is that good. And we have two divisions that are finally starting to find their rhythm. This match ended in a perfect way where you know there has to be one winner-takes-all contest. Put me on, I am board as well. But I have a question I ask, and I mean this respectfully. Do you consider this a hoss match at this point? Because these bombs were hurting. They were heavy.
Yeah. I mean, they were beating each other up pretty good in this one. This was another fantastic match. I felt like they knew they had to deliver, and they absolutely did. Maria says this was an excellent women meet match. So,
yeah,
there you
go. I guess
I'm just glad I was quoting that. So, instead of saying it myself,
thanks, Maria, for that quote.
Thanks, yeah. Thank you. But Jimmy, I want your thoughts on that promo, smile, anyways, and the fight that these two had.
No, I love Willow, too. I think she's got it. And I don't know about building the entire division around her, but at least get the ball rolling in that direction, because she's got this natural charisma about her. Even when she talks, everybody is engaged. They love her. And starting off that match hot on the ramp, great idea. Instead of the usual, somebody gets in the ring and you jump them there. No, start it off hot on the ramp, fight your way to the ring, fight through the match, have a banger of a match. You talk about a banger. That was a banger. The only, again, nitpicking critique I had was with the finish, because we got a variation of a roll-up in the Bryan Danielson Pac match, and we had another roll-up in the match right afterwards in this one. They could have come up with a little more of a creative finish with the attempted interference or distraction from the outside. That's the only little nitpicky thing, but other than that, hats off, ladies.
You're shaking your head, Flobo.
I'm just being an antagonist. He's right. I didn't know what to say.
Yeah, it is easy, I guess, looking back, especially since Willow is the person we're all cheering for. If she just, instead of rolling her up, just hit her move on Statlander.
Exactly.
Because that's a very, we would all cheer for that and getting a clean win that way, as opposed to the, well, I mean, a roll up's a clean win too, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but it establishes her finish as well.
Yes. Yeah. So I do agree with you on that one. But I want to say that Smile Anyway promo. Now, I always like to compare things. When I compare things, people think I mean that they're equally as big or equally as important. I'm not saying that in this case. I'm just making a comparison of the kind of what I think it was evoking in many ways. And the Smile Anyway promo to me had a little bit of the hard times kind of vibe. Like, yeah, sometimes times are rough. Sometimes it's hard. But you got to smile anyway. And I think she is the embodiment of that. I'm not saying that she's the next Dusty Rhodes. I'm not saying that the same thing. I'm saying that I think the way he was speaking to the people, I think Willow was speaking to the people. And I think that this Smile Anyway thing is a really big deal.
You know, dang well, says in the clip that I'm like, Jack Farmer said the new Dusty Rhodes is Willow Nightingale.
I know.
But I know. I see it. It was something we've had moments where life sucks and you really want to drop kick somebody, but you have to smile whether you like to or don't like to. And I think those are the kind of promos that people remember 5, 10, 15 years later if she keeps on that vein.
Yeah. Jimmy, any final thoughts on this one before we move to the next promo?
No, I think all the things were covered pretty well. Willow is the real deal in the women's division.
You heard it here first. Jimmy Corderas thinks that that promo was the hard times promo or better.
Speaking of hard times, after that one gets out on the internet, guess what?
Yeah. So Adonde says, no, I think Jack is more close than far away for that comparison. Thank you.
Oh, it's close, but out of context, he's going to get ripped alive. Yeah.
I do. It happens all the time. Don't worry. Yeah. We had Britt Baker, DMD, show up for coming back from her injuries. Says it was more than injuries that kept her away, that she actually suffered a mini stroke. Now she's back and she's healthy. She gives a moving speech about getting through tough times before directing her attention to Mercedes Moné. Mercedes shows up and is greeted by the Young Bucks. And they say, we're going to have our championship celebration right now. The two go back and forth before it all boiling over. Now it's going to boil over at All In, is what I'm trying to say. These two are going to go at it. Flobo, this was a little bit of a game of one-upsmanship. Yeah. Mercedes felt she was one-upped after her match. Now she's trying to one-up Britt Baker. Did you like how they played that?
Yeah, you know, I was texting at this moment. I go, whoa, AEW's women's division. We're back. Second match and second promo of the evening. We're feeling it. Now, here's my luck from Britt Baker. She came back, gives a really chapter and verse of what she went through and on her way back. She's not a face necessarily or a heel, but you told her story, so we're taking it. But then a look at Mercedes Moné. I think this was the best kind of correction because at Forbidden Door, the crowd was not into Mercedes. And, well, what better way to say she's about her Moné than hanging out with the EVPs? But I got to say, that has to be the weakest championship celebration I have ever seen. If the Young Bucks can only pull those strings, and I don't want your help, Matt and Nick. That was terrible. Two balloons and a streamer. Are you kidding me? She's a double champ.
Matthew and Nicholas, by the way. Don't want to get fined.
Oh, yeah, please don't get fined.
Yeah, you guys need at least a full two pillars worth of balloons if you're going to do this. Because you got at least the hard cam has got to be covered with balloons. That's just a minimum here. But I agree with you. I keep saying pivotal because I feel like this episode, this week of Dynamite, they pivoted in a really good way for a lot of people, I think. And one of them was Mercedes Moné. I think them putting themselves in a position where we clearly are going to boo her. We're going to cheer for Britt Baker. And especially, I think having the speech about where she's been and why she's been away automatically makes you want to latch onto her. Mercedes is phenomenal at stepping on everyone's toes. Very good at that. And as Dylan Matthews in the chat says, Tony Khan should know whoever you put across from the DMD, they are the heel. Britt is beloved in this company.
She's earned it.
Jimmy, how do you think they handled the situation? What did you think of it? Besides the commentary on how many balloons are necessary.
Hey, I'm a journalist. I didn't report what I see, Jack.
Yeah. They could have had a frozen swan carving is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Not even a cake or anything, but the story was very compelling. Britt telling that story that a lot of people weren't aware of. I wasn't aware of it. I don't know how many people were in the know of exactly what happened to her. Maybe what I would have liked to see instead of that long promo in the ring. Yes, you want to tell your story to the people. Maybe earlier in the day, they could have had a sit down interview with Renee in the back where she interviews her and she tells that story in a very different manner in a sit down setting, so to speak. Put it on social media, put it out there, let everybody see it. And then when DMD Britt Baker comes out to the ring, you can get right into the interaction between her and Mercedes Moné. With all due respect, it just felt a little long getting to the verbal conflict. Mm-hmm. If that makes any kind of sense. So, and then you can play this on social media even after the show, let it gain some traction. And because everybody's putting stuff on Twitter, on X, on whatever. I hate to call it X, but, put it on YouTube, put it on all your social media platforms and put it out there and let people really, really get to see this.
Corey Pride with the super chat says, Britt's promo was too long, but great. Her and Mercedes have sold me on the pay-per-view already. I will say I gasped when Mercedes put her hand in Britt Baker's face and shoved her away. I was like, I don't know what that was, that part of that. Oh, I can't believe you did that.
That's the one part that bothered me. I love the fact that they had
that was
two.
Great.
No, because you put your hand in my face and shoved me away. Guess what? You got one coming back.
All in tonight.
No, I'm not the tough. I'm not the toughest.
As long as you're smaller than me, you're gonna get it.
Yeah, well, you are a heel.
But I don't care. I'm not the toughest guy in the room. I may go down, but I'm going down swinging.
Yeah, if you're the size of the guy in the front row, I apologize.
He's coming after you, I swear.
I need a few more burgers to gain that.
Now, last thing I want to mention on this segment is one of the things that was really kind of one of the most popular parts of our review show last week, and everyone was talking about, is that George Hermosa did the CEO dance. And so, Flobo, I would like you to continue the good times, and I want to see the CEO dance.
Well, I'm just a guest in this podcast.
No, yes, so I think you go first. I'll do the music. CEO.
That's fine.
CEO.
It's terrible. No, it's fine. I could do DMDs.
C-E-O.
I could. C-E-O.
What the heck was that?
Oh, my God.
You love a lamping son of a gun.
Excuse me, waiter.
Let's see it.
Check, please.
I want to see your CEO.
Please, boy, help me out, Jimmy. I can only do the ring thing. That's all I got.
Okay, we're waiting.
I was waiting for Prince Nana tonight.
Wait, you're stopping the show? I've been swerving while I've been driving for weeks.
Everyone can swerve, Flobo. I want to see the CEO. Everyone in the chat here, CEO.
Don't listen to Jack. Jimmy, bail me out.
Hot tag. Well,
I will bail you out right now because we're talking about championship celebrations right now. Let's go to the scorecard right now. Championship celebrations. Mercedes Moné, 2. World Heavyweight Champion Swerve Strickland, 0.
Damn.
There's something wrong with this picture, ladies and gentlemen.
It's because he's got the action.
Yeah.
It's one guy. The chat is all chanting it. CEO.
It's just one dude. Well, it's CEO. One dude.
For Ricky Sinclair there with the CEO.
I don't see Ricky Sinclair's
Ricky Sinclair's
here.
A real one.
All I can see is these multiple comments that keep coming up on the screen here for our audience.
This is going to be the longest podcast ever because I'm not doing it.
Well, let's talk a bit about the learning tree. Flobo, since you're not going to do the CEO bit, can you give me your best The Learning Tree?
Oh my God. Hey guys, it's the Learning Tree. Hi guys. Hey, TV time.
Basically, Chris Jericho comes out and he says that Hook stole his move and he kicks Taz out of ringside or from a commentary because he doesn't feel safe with Taz at commentary. Then Hook, Shibata, and Joe take on the Cage of Agony. Good guys get the win, but really it's all set up for the Learning Tree to beat up Hook afterwards. And even later in the night, Jericho goes back to his roots as a wizard and shoots a fireball. Jimmy, I know you're a fan of the Learning Tree, but what were your thoughts on this week's segment of TV Time with Chris Jericho?
The only part I liked about it was they actually eliminated Taz from the equation. They made a reason for it. Look, you're supposed to be an unbiased commentator, but you are clearly, you know, cheering for one guy. So we're getting you, you know, that was kind of fun. That was kind of fun to have him taken out of the equation. Having Jericho on commentary was at times mildly humorous. Let's put it that way. He wasn't the funniest guy in the room. Let's put it that way. But the aftermath where they beat up Hook in the back and they threw the fireball, and it's like too much fire in AEW. What the hell? At least he didn't use a blowtorch.
What the?
Too much fire? Oh, yeah, I guess there was the blowtorch a while ago.
Yeah. Throw a hockey puck or something. That kind of fits his
demeanor. You heard it here first, Flobo. If you haven't heard, AEW's on fire right now.
You've been living under a rock? AEW's on fire right now. Oh my gosh. This segment's terrible. Wait. I hated it. I get the whole saying I'm going to get Taz out the equation, but AEW rotates their commentators on the same show all the time. So Taz not being there wasn't a big deal. Hook doesn't go to Taz for help anymore. Why is Taz being removed? That's not a heel thing at all. I go, yeah, you know, he's working pretty hard. He deserves a break. That's fine.
But the match itself was good. Did it? He got approval from the EVPs, Nicholas and Matthew, and so he wasn't being a jerk.
What I'm saying is,
stealing a finisher is a jerky move to do. Hook and Taz deserve it.
I know Taz is the father son connection. But if he had Taz and Excalibur removed for the rest of the night, That would be something very dastardly. But the thing is, the color commentators change around all the time on an episode. Is that really a big deal?
Well, no, I know logistically it's not really a big deal, but that's why, you know, it's not a really a big deal that Hook was attacked either. They got a lot of wrestlers that trade in and out. But it was the dastardly way he did it.
Yes.
With paperwork.
Yeah, exactly.
The most vile way to do it.
No! That's the heat. That's
there is no heat with Jericho now. You know that, Jimmy.
He's literally throwing fire. How much heat do you want?
It lasted 2 seconds for a reason. Look, I like Jericho. He's a first belt Hall of Famer. Didn't quite get the painkiller or painmaker, but I'd rather have that now than this. The purple, the pink suit wearing, hey guys thing is not working.
How that hair didn't go up in flames, I have no idea.
It was bubbly, probably.
Can I address Tony Hayes in the commentary room? Like,
yeah, which
seriously,
one?
Seriously, bro.
Oh yeah,
Mike Pender.
That's long term booking. That's long term booking. Right
now. Speaking of heat, Tony Hayes has heat with me. That's all I can say.
Mike. Okay, so but Jimmy, I gotta ask you this: has anyone seen you and Mike Pender in the same room at the same time?
Ooh.
Ah, boy, how do I answer that? Kayfabe, brother.
I'm just saying, if I've never seen you both at the same time,
so maybe I've got another gig on the side. Maybe just leave it at that.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
We get to another spot of the night that I think was actually a pretty big moment. And this is what I'm very eager to get your guys' opinions on. Jeff Jarrett takes on his mystery opponent. Before the match, Jarrett is so emotionally can't even speak about it. His opponent, Hangman Adam Page, new music and all. And this match was pretty one-sided. A few hopeful moments for Jarrett, but Page just brutalized Jeff Jarrett. Post-match, the Bucks say they lifted the suspension for Page basically as a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Can you join us in blood and guts? And he said, nah, no thanks. Jimmy, what were you – walk me – now I know we were all kind of sentimental favorites of Jeff Jarrett. We've talked about that before. Adam Page, not the most surprising pick, but do you like – now that you've seen it, how it all went down, are you enjoying it? Do you like where they're going? What are you thinking about this one?
I like the different side. I mean, we've seen an aggressive Hangman Page before, but this was different. There was a different look in his face. There was a different look in his eyes. And that's what I enjoyed about this version of Hangman Page. Yes, I could sympathize with someone like a Jeff Jarrett in this situation. Obviously, you know, going, you know, his history with Owen means a lot. And I love the part in the promo where he said nothing. Mm-hmm. That spoke volumes more than any words he could ever say does. So, but as far as Hangman Page goes, the aftermath was what made it more interesting for me is his interaction with the Young Bucks, with the EVPs, telling them he's not, you know, he's basically dismissing them and saying, you know what, I don't work for you. I work for myself. And don't tell me what to do, and kind of fluffed him off and gave him a little shove too. That was the interesting part. And I want to see where this goes from there. Does he win the tournament? Does he go far? Does he at least make it to the finals? Who knows? Because him and Swerve do have a history. That's for sure. And are the fans ready for another variation or another round of Hangman and Swerve? We shall see.
There's a lot of variables there. Flobo, yeah. Talk to me about this Adam Page. Now, I am admittedly a huge Adam Page fan. I don't know how that word fits to what we're discussing here. Are you, is that, I know Jericho used the word earlier. I'm still not quite sure. I'll Google it. But a big fan of Adam Page. So I like seeing him back. I like that he was aggressive. I like that he was angry. I like that he seems very jaded, though not quite necessarily a quote-unquote bad guy here. Thoughts on the return of Adam Page and everything else?
As a long-term wrestling fan, there's a lot to not like about it, right? Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett had a legitimate friendship that transcended what happened in the ring. There's a lot of us that wanted Jarrett to be at least in the finals to have that big moment. But you got to put things in the New Way perspective. You have Jarrett, who's at the end of his career, or he has more years behind him than in front of him. I'm trying to retire the guy. But then you have Adam Page, where he was gone for a minute, but you have to reestablish that he's back, he's fit, and he has a bit of an edge. Beating down the sentimental favorite is what you do. That's how you garner sympathy. So it was tough to watch. I would want to see at least one more Jarrett match, but I was telling you this in the group chat while it was happening. I hope that Jarrett uses this to go in through like a spiraling kind of insanity thing of coming up short and honoring his friend, and anyone can win, and both guys can win after tonight.
Yeah, on Twitter, I was asked by @BrianLacy, so we're supposed to get invested in Jarrett because the Owen Hart tournament meant so much to him, only to have Hangman just destroy him. And Flobo, I think you answered that nail on the head. That's exactly why we were supposed to buy into Jeff Jarrett. That's exactly why we were supposed to want him to win. Us wanting him to win only to be destroyed is exactly what they were looking for, I think. And yeah. But I also love that they answered the why they brought him back, and they didn't brush that under the rug and say maybe they won't remember. And I like that there's tension there. I like that maybe he's going to help him, maybe he's not. We don't know what his motivations are yet, Jimmy. I feel like this is more than just I'm back and I want to be the champion. I have a feeling that Young Bucks are going to do something that says we can control you a little bit, Adam Page. We have something on you. I feel like, because the way he came out is he's not just, hey, I'm back and I'm back to business. It feels like, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, it feels like there's something going on with Adam Page that they have not explained to us yet in character.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that because of the way he came out with a different kind of aggression. It wasn't that, full bore, go out and knock him dead. He had this slow, menacing approach to the ring. He took his time. And even in the back, it was a little confusing at first because, like you said, Jeff Jarrett being the sentimental favorite and him pretty much handing him his lunch in that match, pretty good. And then going back and people actually cheering when he had that confrontation with the EVP. So maybe the fans are a little conflicted. Maybe they're going to exercise that power going forward, like you said, and kind of force his hand into joining the EVPs in that match. And then maybe that's what finally costs him in the end. Who knows?
I like how the whole thing went down. And also, I think the underrated side of this that I really love is that I'm a believer in Jeff Jarrett again. I hope he's not off TV after this. I hope, to Flobo's point, that something happens that allows him to continue on TV, because I've been a fan of Jeff Jarrett for a long time. Again, I was a late period WCW fan, so all the slap nuts that didn't like him, I liked him. But it kind of reminded me, Jimmy, that Jeff Jarrett he's a talent, and he's very valuable to a wrestling company.
Absolutely, in many ways, not just in the ring, but behind the scenes. He's so knowledgeable about all aspects of wrestling, everything from how to talk, how to work in the ring, tell a story, psychology, all of the above. Jeff Jarrett is a guy that is invaluable in a locker room to that young talent. And he's also someone who is not set in his ways. He listens and he's able to adapt. So if you have something that's kind of new school, so to speak, he's able to take that and add a little layer of old school to it and make a nice little tossed salad that would really, really work in today's wrestling presentation.
Adonde says, Jack, remember you saying the Elite needs someone not joking around? Would Hangman fit into that slot? I think he could. I think the issue right now, though, is I want someone who is all on board with the Elite, who's kind of running the Elite to be the person that's not joking around. I look at, you look at the NWO back in the day, to take now what is an old reference, the outsiders, they would joke around and have fun. Hulk Hogan or Hollywood Hogan, he would kind of joke around, but he was never really that funny. Sorry, Hulkster, you weren't really the funny one.
What do you mean, brother?
You know, he was there to win and kick people when they're down and just be a jerky bad guy. And you look at Evolution, Triple H wasn't there. He makes some jokes, but he wasn't there to have a good time. He was there.
Triple H is never funny. Triple H is the most unfunniest guy in the ring and promos.
Yeah, but that's because in the Click, he was kind of like the designated driver.
Right,
you know,
those guys are never funny. Nah. I was kidding.
Yeah, you know, but even like the Bloodline, you know, you had Sammy making jokes and Jay and Jimmy for a while, they were all laughing, but Roman Reigns didn't laugh, he was never having a good time. You need that one person that's like, no, we're here to kick people while they're down and hurt people. Speaking of hurting people, my feelings got hurt in the main event. I don't know how you guys.
Oh, hurting you is great. See you next week, everybody. Bye, guys.
Daniel Garcia versus Will Ospreay for the International Championship. Show starts off with a promo from Garcia saying he's putting on his mother's life that he's going to win. MJF's going to be in his corner. Ospreay thanks Callis for his help, but asks to go free. And Callis says, okay, sure, that'll pan out well. They put on a really good one, but it all comes down to MJF telling Garcia to use the diamond ring. Garcia says no thanks, gets hit with the hidden blade. MJF cost Garcia the match. Garcia is gutted. Ospreay gives him a pep talk. MJF kicks Garcia and the yeet flies. It's a bloody attack until Ospreay comes out and MJF leaves and Garcia is stretchered away. Jimmy, usually I'd say this is a lot of stuff that happened here. I feel like, again, I feel like this is a pivoting moment for AEW in a lot of ways. I feel like a lot happened, but it was all for a good purpose and a pivot here. Am I being too optimistic, as everyone says in the comments?
I don't think so. I think this was done really, really well and accomplished its goal. Because as you said in the promo earlier, he dedicating the win to his mother, saying there's absolutely no way he's going to lose this match. And then him losing the match in the fashion that he did because of MJF. And you can see the emotion in him crying in the corner and Will trying to comfort him and tell him, man, you did a hell of a job. You know, you should be proud of yourself and all that sort of stuff. I wasn't there hearing it, but I'm assuming that along those lines is what it was. Will leaving and then MJF doing the dastardly deed, helping him up, you know, giving him the hug. And then there we go, right in the yeet flies. And then he went to town. That wasn't the end of it. He went to town. And we have some color, ladies and gentlemen, that tombstone pile driver off the second rope. And you thought that would be enough, but it wasn't enough. He kept going afterwards. You know, this is how you make a baby face. When you want to get some heat on him, some real heat like MJF did, that's where you get sympathy on a baby face. I was kind of skeptical about Daniel Garcia's rise so far as a babyface because they said, you know, Renee Paquette, you know, another Canadian, anyways, Renee Paquette said, you know, one of the emerging backbones of AEW. And I thought when she said that, I was kind of like, I don't know if he's quite a backbone of AEW, but after tonight, I think he has the opportunity to become just that. And that's all thanks to what MJF did to him. And the sympathy that he got, and I'm looking forward to seeing. Now, you talk about what can happen in the future. MJF and Garcia mean something now.
Yes, absolutely. And Flobo, to that point, to kind of wrap up the stuff with Garcia, I do want to say, too, I know we talk about bleeding too much on AEW a lot. I feel like this is a perfect example of where it really helped and was really well done. But I've been a fan of Garcia for a very long time. I've been saying I think he could be that guy eventually. I think that this was a good step there. If you were the person, Flobo, pulling the strings here with AEW, would you put Garcia in the spot to try to become one of the top guys? Do you believe in him?
If I'm slicing off today, I would say, yeah, why not? That guy has a look. He went in the main event. He can do it. But Garcia is in this small club of a bunch of guys that we've seen this before. Where we go, oh, now's the time Garcia's going to kick up. Oh, yeah, Wardlow's going to happen. Oh, yeah, Brian Cage, Powerhouse Hobbs, all these. And it doesn't happen. So I'm a little cynical, a little jaded on that end. So I feel that's the only way to tracking it. But it's not Daniel Garcia's fault. He did everything that was asked of him, even put his mom in a promo and more. He's done everything correctly. If they really believe in him, now's the time.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I think that Garcia has what it takes. I think he could be there. But I want to go back to Will Ospreay and his conversation with Don Callis, Jimmy. This now, clearly, things aren't over with Don Callis and Will Ospreay. But I want to actually say what I loved about this promo here is it summed up, like, because one of my complaints was, like, I don't get what everyone gets out of being with Don Callis. But Ospreay actually, like, hey, you got me a match with Omega. You got me a match with Jericho. That was great. It wasn't your typical yelling emotional promo. It was that very mellow kind of, listen, man, I appreciate what you did. I thought Ospreay showed a different level here in like the other way, like in a good way. But like, you know, most of the time, like another level turning it up, but he showed another level turning it down. Mm-hmm. But also kind of explained why he would be with Callis in the first place. And now clearly we know that there's going to be repercussions for Will Ospreay in the future. And I'm here for it.
No, I'm here for it too, and you're right. It's nice to see different levels, different variations, because he wasn't amped. Every promo we've seen from him so far, he's been amped up to the nines, you know, with all the Bruv stuff. We didn't get any of that tonight. We got a subdued. Mm-hmm. He showed some range in his promo mm-hmm. work, and that's very important, because you can be up in rah rah sis boom ba all the time, and yeah, people are going to get behind it. But if you want to get people really emotionally invested, you have to show some emotion other than, hey, I'm happy all the time. And this mm-hmm. is great. I love it. This is awesome. I'm the best wrestler in the world, stuff like that. Now you're showing some self-doubt. Now you're showing that you really want to prove yourself to the world and to yourself. And the nice little interaction. And Don Callis very calmly, you know what? I don't really normally do this for someone who's actually signed a contract. That little thing that he threw in there, you know, that mm-hmm. has signed a contract with me. But I will do you this favor, but you owe me one in yep. return. So I'm waiting for the receipt.
very Godfather-esque. Like, I'll do you this favor, but one day I'm going to call you. Mm-hmm. And when I do, you owe me. And Don Callis is not someone you want to owe a favor to. Like, I already love that. And even what's great is, if you look at Don Callis, did nothing that looked like he was being insincere. But you're like, I don't believe you. Don Callis, you're a liar. Well, but I feel like Don Callis could say anything to me. Like, he could call me right now, like, Jack, you're doing the Wrestling Inc. post show right now. I'd be like, no, I'm not, you liar.
Wow. I mean, take the bag first and then call him a liar afterwards. No, yeah, it's a natural sleeve that works for him. And I mean that with all due respect. And I guess the question I had when he said that was, what's the over under for him cashing that favor? 6 weeks? 2 months, a year? That's the question I want to know. What would that even look like? What would Don Callis need an Ospreay for moving forward?
Yeah, that'll be the interesting thing. That's fun. I can't wait to see. Hopefully it's not too long. Like, I don't, like, it's okay if it's a couple months, but if it's like a year from now, I'm like, okay, guys, we forgot all about this. You gotta be a little tighter than that with the storytelling. But last thing here is I want to go to Corey Pride's super chat here. Thank you, Corey. Says MJF is best as a heel. Jimmy.
He's a natural heel.
Mm-hmm.
He's a natural heel. Sometimes people cheer for the bad guy. But at this point, I think tonight we finally got him to get the reaction he was hoping for. He wanted to get booed tonight. And yeah, they were booing him. There's going to be that faction out there that's going to cheer him regardless of what he does. He could run over a small puppy and probably still get cheered by some people. You know what I mean?
Don't give him ideas, because I think he'll do it.
Edit that out, please. Edit that out really quickly. But you know, he got the desired reaction, and you know, he's showing that's where he belongs. That's his lane, the heel lane.
It's you're right. I think it's very, it's almost the opposite. It's when someone who's obviously a nice person tries to be a bad guy, we're like, you're not a bad person. Quit pretending. He's the opposite. When he's nice, like, come on, you're a jerk. What are you doing here?
Ricky Steamboat syndrome. Ricky Steamboat just can't be a heel.
Right, right. Like, and I feel like Rey Mysterio as well. If Rey Mysterio is like, I hate you fans, you'd be like, come on, Rey. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? But Flo-Po, how do you feel? Do you agree? Do you think that it's they teased the idea of MJF being a good guy, someone we can cheer? Is that just a lost cause?
I think so. I always told you the reason why I don't connect with MJF is actually the opposite. I grew up with a bunch of MJFs in class, and so it's almost too real for me. So I'll always boo the bullies I had in school, right? I thought having a face run might be fun for the character side. If MJF was like, let me see if I can do it. But a guy who says literally I'm better than you and dresses in Burberry and those patterned things, that has to be somebody you just go, there's something about.
Someone had mentioned Ric Flair can't be a face. Not really. I do think that once you've gone long enough, it's just a little different. And I think that MJF may get to that level at some point, but right now he's still at a point where it's too easy to boo him, and he's too vital in that role of being the guy with teeth that I was talking about earlier, the dangerous person.
There is only one thing, not regarding Ric Flair, but MJF too. You talked about it a little bit here, that maybe this trigger was pulled a little too early with this, because he just returned and he was getting that reaction. You know, let's enjoy it and then suck the people in before you do the dastardly deed. I don't think they waited long enough with it.
Do you think they were in a situation where they just didn't have enough bad guys for him to go through?
That's it.
Blow, you snap. You think that's what it is?
That's it. You look at Swerve and look at his rogues gallery. There's not many people there that would sell a match on its own, but you build it up. And AEW is not really in a position to build up over long term. They need to get some momentum going. The hot star is back. He really doesn't have any heel opponents in MJF. Just flip him over, and that's a match right there. Go through Garcia first, and then you got MJF and Swerve.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, especially if Swerve is going through all the bad guys himself, you can't have MJF then also beat Christian Cage and then also beat everybody else. You're going to ruin all of your bad guys very quickly in that case.
True.
That does it for this week. I do think that this was, like I said, pivotal. I thought this was a really great show, and this was everything I think AEW needed this week. Everyone in the chat, let me know if I'm going too far on that or if I'm being overly positive. I usually am, but in the comments as well, the likes, the 5-star reviews, all that good stuff. Before we wrap up, though, Flobo, any final thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
I do think it's a good sign for the AEW Women's Division that so much time was given. And you see everyone's coming around, at least on Twitter, that, hey, look, we have so much talent. They're getting time to do things and breathe. It's great. I'm so happy for that. Hope they continue that some more. Hey, I'm with this guy, Jack Farmer, every Wednesday as we talk about NXT and a show called Draped in Gold. Learn more at drapedingold.com. But every morning I'm lurking for those ref and rants by my man, Jimmy Corderas. Yeah.
And that's why you're a host as well, Flobo, being able to toss it over there. Jimmy, any final thoughts, and where can we find you, like those ref and rants?
No, I enjoyed tonight's Dynamite very much. If I had one thing that I wish I could have seen tonight, I would have loved to have seen the world champion, even if it was just a promo, because that was a big match that he had and a big win that he needed against a big opponent. And that was the only thing. I wish I would have seen the world champion on the show tonight and not wait till Collision, if that's where he's going to show up. But as far as where you can catch me here on Wednesday nights and Monday nights, and this week on Friday night as well. You're going to get too much of Jimmy Jam this week, but you can catch me here, of course, on the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds the glue together. This week, our guest, Jared Fritz. It's an all-striped edition of the Roughing It Up podcast with three referees this week. I hope you can handle it. And, of course, my Ref and Rants from Monday to Friday on all my social media platforms. Little critiques that I think I like to tighten screws and maybe think that, in my mind, help.
Well, you can't have too much of a good thing, Jimmy. So I'm glad that you're going to be doing more and more shows. As Dylan says, much like Vegemite, we can never have too much Jimmy Corderas. Well, Dylan, I love you. I had Vegemite once, and I was like,
it was fine.
I think I've had enough of that.
You know why? Because Dylan Matthews likes a Vegemite sandwich, right? Because he comes from a land down under.
That's classic. Sung by a Scotsman, but definitely a classic.
And of course, Adonde saying, I like this combination of Flo, Farmer, and Jimmy. Great stuff. Well, thank you guys so much. Thank you for the kind words. Thank you to Tuck, to Dylan, to Mike, to Killer of Demons, to Tony, to everyone who rolled through. Maria, appreciate you all. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. You can check me out also calling the action for the Santino Bros LA Rumble on July 27th. You can check that streaming live on YouTube for free. And also make sure to follow at Wrestling for all your latest wrestling news updates. You can check out the After SmackDown show on Friday. Jimmy will be there. And if you're invited to the barbecue at Flobo, check that out. And if you're in Canada, still celebrate the 4th of July. It's a good one. Make sure not to blow off any of your fingers. We'll see you all on Friday.
Bye, guys.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.